We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Glad you're with us on a Thursday morning. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, presented by Progressive Insurance on SiriusXM Channel 80 and your smart speakers as well. Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here. In a day where the NBA is going to vote to come back and we have all these plans and sports is returning, that's an afterthought because of the absolute vitriol and backlash that has come Drew Brees' way after his comments made in that Yahoo Finance Zoom conference about a simple question, really. Was, as a leader, how are you going to respond? We've seen so much social activism this offseason in the wake of the killing of George Floyd and how many NFL players have been active. You know, as a leader, how will you react when, if someone decides to take a knee again during the national anthem? And his response, quite frankly, has a lot of people very upset.
We'll just read it. The question asked to him, everyone is looking at Kaepernick's protest from a few years ago, and now people expect that we'll see players kneeling again when the NFL season starts. How do you think the NFL will and should respond to that? And what is your responsibility as a leader in times like this for the rest of your teammates and players in the league? And his right out of the gate, well, I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. And then he goes on to tell you, and he does give an incredible account on when I look at the flag, I see my grandfathers, you know, who fought in the war, you know, and all the people that did to help us have this flag. So he said, I believe everyone should stand with their hand over their heart, you know, and show unity. It shows that we are all in this together. We can do better and that we're all part of the solution. Which, if you take out the first line I read on that and just go to his explanation of the flag, you'd be like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
But saying, I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country, really seems to be like, well, wait a minute. You gave your opinion on your grandparents, but now you're telling everybody else kind of what they should feel. And I know everybody is allowed their opinion, but consequences come with their opinion. And the consequences are the reaction to it of those like a Bomani Jones who we're going to talk to and others who have said, even we even said it earlier, there are others who went to that same war who weren't the same color as Drew Brees' grandfathers,
right,
who fought probably next to Drew Brees' grandfathers, who came back to America after the war and got treated like absolute garbage, you know, from where they could eat, where they could sleep, where they could go to the bathroom, and where they could buy a house. So they look at the flag a little differently. So that kind of catch-all, I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag. I mean, and just, I guess people saying, Drew, how can you not see people looking at it differently and maybe having a different vision? So there was an incredible reaction to it. I tried to jump that reaction and say, boy, I hope teammates can work this thing out. But listen, I was wrong in trying to jump that road of the reaction was needed because I'm sure there was shock, maybe not so much in that locker room because people had been with Drew for 4 years after the Colin Kaepernick situation, so they probably already knew his feelings. But to hear those expressed, and man, the reaction, I would say would be certainly justified, no doubt about that.
It seemed like there were some people that were pretty shocked or at the very least disappointed because this idea, like, it wasn't people in the abstract. These are his teammates. These are guys that he knows well, like Malcolm Jenkins knew Drew Brees from a time before even coming back for this latest stint in all of this with the Saints. And so I think it's that idea that maybe makes it hurt even more. It's like people didn't try and tell you about this, Drew. Like, I'm sure Malcolm feels like a lot of people like myself tried to explain our perspective on this and the perspective of people that did protest and why this is. And so I can see that statement as reading almost like a betrayal. And that's even before you put it with the backdrop of what's gone on here recently, where now people are just fed up with the idea of, you know, trying to brush it under the table or trying to move on or trying to act like, you know, I was talking to a couple of my friends, a couple of my black friends who were saying, you'd be amazed the amount of stuff we just shrug off for our own mental well-being.
Yeah.
Like the amount of stuff we just let go. And in the last week or so, people got tired of letting stuff go.
No more shrugging.
Go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No more shrugging.
Yeah, it's funny. I was texting with someone about that. He said, I get tired of it. It gets tiresome on all these levels having to deal with this stuff. And specifically with Drew Brees, there are three things that we need to point out. Number one, you're right. He was very eloquent in explaining what the flag meant to him.
To him.
To him. And that was cool. And I respect that. But for him to then say that's what everybody should do, that means you're not respecting someone's opinion that is different. And you have to do that. America is messy. And we're finding that out right now. Democracy is not easy. It is not for the faint of heart. It is not for the weak. And it's not a everybody think one way. And that has been the whole point of all this protest after the killing of George Floyd, is understand somebody else's perspective and listen. And that response had none of that. And God, are we really having to say this again? It's not about disrespecting the flag. It's not about disrespecting the military. It's not about disrespecting the anthem. It was someone who we'll talk to in just about 25 minutes.
Right.
Nate Boyer, a former Green Beret from the state of Texas, who met with Colin Kaepernick and said, this is a better way to do it than sitting on the bench while the national anthem is being played. That is one of the most frustrating parts about this.
And you know what? We can point out, Nate Boyer does not speak for everyone that put on a uniform.
Correct.
Much in the same way that everyone who at times angrily replies to this and points that out, it is not a population that just comes with one opinion on this. As people have pointed out over and over again, the experience is so overwhelmingly different. And when people bring up the opinion part of this, that this is Drew's opinion and this is how he feels about it, it's different when you try and make your opinion cover everybody else in this, because what we're seeing right now is a reaction to that opinion.
Yes.
A strong reaction to that opinion. The same reaction to an opinion on this subject that cost Colin Kaepernick his job 4 years ago, that cost Colin Kaepernick a chance to play in this league 4 years ago. And so I only say this is to point out, like, logically, I hope people can see what I'm talking about here is, regardless of how you feel about it, the response that people are getting mad at right now to Drew Brees, of people saying, you're mad he doesn't share your opinion. You're mad that he said something that isn't popular right now. You're mad that he said something that people find offensive because it's not their opinion. Those are all the things that you can say when Colin Kaepernick knelt, when Colin Kaepernick talked about police brutality. It was not an opinion that was popular with a lot of people.
Correct.
It was an opinion that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And the reaction to that cost him his job. And so when you turn around in this and say your reaction is too harsh to Drew Brees, I beg to differ. And I hope that that alone, like saying it, I'm saying, trying to say it as calm as I can to show that the reaction is the same. The thing that you're complaining about right now is the exact bit of empathy you couldn't offer somebody else. Like, let that be a moment of soul searching that Louis Riddick brought that word up, and it is so overwhelmingly important. It is the empathy in a situation to look at a viewpoint outside of my own. And at times, I always feel like that might be a luxury in the hierarchy of need that we all have, because my base needs are met. I'm allowed to think more of something like this than someone who's got to live paycheck to paycheck and worry about how hard their own life is, because life is really bleeping hard. Drew Brees doesn't have any of those excuses.
Yeah.
He's got no excuse not to listen. He's got no excuse not to look at this situation and say, I can afford in so many ways to see a viewpoint outside of my own, because every other excuse is taken away.
So now we're getting to that point again of listening, because when Cap did what he did, you know, that's what everybody wanted. Listen, and people lost sight of what Cap was actually protesting about, because it just, oh, we knelt on the flag, so that's all I care about, and it was disrespectful, instead of listening to why he was doing it and then what happened going forward. Again, it cost him his job and his career in the NFL. What happened with the listening going forward? And we always talk about listening and talking now, but it can be difficult when someone in Philadelphia disagrees with someone in California who don't work the same job or aren't in the same field, and they disagree and they go at it on Twitter or they go at it in another way. We're talking about now teammates. Yep. We're talking about what have we always said about the locker rooms, not just in the same team, but the sport, the brotherhood of NFL players, of football players. And now you're talking about teammates. So these are guys that are going to be together and are going to have to talk face to face and work something out. If nothing else, just get everything out. They still may not agree in the end. Malcolm Jenkins and whoever on that team could sit there and talk to their blue in the face about Drew to say, see this, and Drew may not. Drew may say, I listen to what you're saying, but I'm not changing. I have no idea how it will turn out, but this is what's different now in the country where people can't be face-to-face at times. These people will be face-to-face.
And no one has saying Drew Brees has to change his opinion of what the flag means to him.
No.
Not at all,
but he needs to understand.
He needs to acknowledge other people may have a different opinion. That doesn't mean they're wrong.
This is very similar to what we dealt with Vic Fangio the other day, is it is to discount no one's experience on this earth. Yeah. That is the point.
Right.
Is a statement like this discounts what someone else has gone through, what their experiences have led them to, and how they look at a symbol, because that's what the flag is, and how they look at a symbol and the way that it makes them feel, how they look at an issue and think that makes them feel. And so that's the thing. When we talk about dad, all those words you bring up are true. It's brotherhood. It's all these ideals of sports. And now people are being asked to say, all right, don't talk about it.
Yeah.
I want to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to know if you're willing to get down there and get dirty and have these conversations with me or not. Like that idea. And for so long, you were able to get away with it because to be quite frank, that was, you know, the popular opinion. There are a lot more white people in this country. And so that's kind of how things tended to go. And when Lewis said there's a pain point, like that's where we're in right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is you are being forced to stand up and listen to the voices of people who have felt unheard for a long time. And I feel like that's something that a lot of people in this country can't empathize with, feeling like they're not heard at times. And so instead of constantly saying, well, what about me? What about my problem? What about my thing? Maybe we just take the time to listen in this instance.
Exactly. Especially at this point. I mean, at any time, this might have been a topic that would have broached a lot of, but in light of everything that's going on in this country, across the world, those protests in Amsterdam and Copenhagen and Berlin, to have it at this point in time is the reason I think this backlash is as severe as it is. I believe it would be severe at any time, but to do it now to sound as if you're not hearing anybody else is what's making it exponentially worse. Yep. And it is something that we're dealing with across this entire country in many places and across many sports. Golic and Wingo is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Of course, all of this is rooted in what we're talking about, in what happened in the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. And for more on how that city is dealing with this and how we move forward, we're delighted to be joined now by Torrey Hunter, 5-time Major League Baseball All-Star, spent a lot of his career in Minneapolis with the Minnesota Twins, and is now a special assistant to baseball operations. Torrey, first and foremost, more than anything else, thank you for being with us this morning, and how are you?
I'm all right, Trey. How you guys doing, man? You know, we're all trying to heal around here in America, and it's tough. You know, you have some anger, but at the same time, you just can't act on that. It's okay to have the anger, and I think all of us are going through it right now. Not just blacks. We're angry, but there's a lot of people outside our race are pretty upset about it as well. When you have something on film like that, you know, George Floyd with the knee in the back of his neck. And I always will say, if you think about it, I always go biblical, man, or spiritual. I say God breathed life into our bodies. So when you take a breath away, you're taking God out of it. You know, so it's and to see it on film and see this guy who can't breathe and calling out for his mother who died 2 years previous, the life was being sucked out of him. Everybody saw it. And we're a part of all of that. No matter what color you are, when you see that, you see your son, you see your dad, my brothers. And I found myself up at 3 a.m. the next day crying. Like, please stop. Stop killing people. Stop killing my people. We're all one, but, it's, you know, I hear all lives matter. And And when you see that, yes, in humanity, in me, all lives matter. But if you look, I saw something on Instagram. It was crazy. I don't really just get on there a lot. But they said, look at all the houses in your neighborhood. All those houses matter. But when one is burning with family members in it, you got to focus on it and go and save and put the fires out. And that's what's going on in our race. We have a lot going on, systemic behavior, systemic profiling, racial profiling. We got a lot of school system issues. Why the school system's not great? The property taxes are going to the school system. Our property taxes are lower. Their property taxes are higher. So it's just a lot of things that are against us, and we don't see the strive. We've fought in wars. We've put blood in the ground for 400 years. But we get treated like the trash of all races. That's what we feel. That's what we see. That's why God gave you two ears and he gave you two eyes so you can see and you can listen. Stop talking so much. And that's what it's all about. That's it.
It's well said and certainly powerful as we're talking to Torrey Hunter here with us on Golic and Wingo. And so, Torrey, I guess specifically in that area, as this has all started, what are some of the conversations that you've had as all this has gone on, as we've seen everything proceed? And what's the general mood been like in the wake of all of this?
I'm telling you this, there's been some anger in me. You know, here I am, this guy who's a philanthropist, man, and I don't care who you are, I treat everybody with love and respect. I smile, I have fun. But, you know, my past is my past and my present is my present. I've been pulled over and asked, do you have a gun and drugs in the car? But you just said I didn't come to a full stop at a stop sign. So why would you ask me for if I had guns in my car? That's all the time almost. I might have had one guy that say, well, you was going 10 miles an hour over and I'm just going to give you a citation and hey, good luck today or whatever. He didn't know who I was. And I'm like, wow, that's first time. And I've been pulled over, you know, at a gas station with a lot of cops with guns drawn when I was a 19 years old. And they said I fit the description. I was like, I'm still in the car. You know, it's just those things, those memories come back. As a professional athlete in Anaheim, you know, out there in Newport Coast, I get guns drawn on me in my own home because they don't believe I live there. You know, and you can't say much about it. I'm playing pro ball. I don't want people to say, oh, he's a complainer. He's a militant black guy. He's this and that. I don't want that because that backlash is powerful. And nobody heard me. You know, nobody heard that cry because I couldn't. I had people around me telling me, don't say this, don't say that. But I've been called the N-word in Boston 100 times, and I said something about it. You know, and, oh, he's just a militant. He's lying. This didn't happen. No, it happened all the time from little kids. And grown-ups right next to him didn't say anything. You know, you know what? Don't say anything. So I had a no-trade clause in everything I had not to go to Boston. Not because of all the people, not because of the teammates, not because of the front office, because if you're doing that and allowing it amongst the people, I don't want to be there. And that's why I had a no-trade clause to Boston. In every contract I've ever had. So, and I always wanted to play for them. And it sucks. So all these things, man, it's just an outcry. You guys are listening. I love it. You talk about just change. Change is going to take you to be, I heard Michael Todd say, comfortably uncomfortable. That's what you have to be. Yeah. You have to be able to invite people into your home and get to know them. Us as African-Americans have to invite more whites and Asians and Latinos, everybody. Invite them in your home for you know, 1 or 2 days and just have that conversation. Get to know me. If I don't know I don't know anything about a snake's behavior. But I've heard, and when I see it, I automatically, you know, I want to kill it because I don't know it. It doesn't know me. I don't know it. So I just know that it's poisonous or maybe poisonous because I heard about it. I heard it's going to bite me. You know, if it bites me, I die. So I kill it because I don't know much about it. I have no relationship with it. So not saying we're physically killing everybody, but you can mentally kill somebody. You can spiritually kill somebody. You know, you can emotionally kill somebody. And I think we're dying emotionally. We're dying financially. We're dying spiritually, because it's just people won't listen. One guy, Colin Kaepernick. We can talk about that all day. Kaepernick got on the knee. When I get on my knees, I pray and I ask God to help or help me to see something. I ask God to heal someone or whatever it may be. When someone gets on a knee, that means submission, right? So if Colin Kaepernick is submitting to America, people that fought for America, black, white, Asian, Mexican, I don't care what it was, these folks, they fought for this freedom. And he got on the knee peacefully. Couldn't say words because he'll get scrutinized. Got on the knee, didn't say nothing, got scrutinized. You know, rioting is horrible. But you go out and you protest peacefully, you get scrutinized. Listen.
Yeah.
Listen. That's all I'm saying. Open your eyes.
And that's why we had you on. We wanted to hear what you had to say about this. And we appreciate so much the passion that you brought. And we are here to understand, and we are here to listen to you and understand that your experience can be very different from ours. And we respect the journey that you have been on. Tory, we really appreciate your candor and honesty this morning. Thank you so much. Be well, be safe, okay?
Thanks, Tory.
Thank you, guys. Love requires relationships. So let's try to acquire these relationships. We're here, and I just want to say this before we go. Man, sports teaches you a lot of life lessons. We all come from different backgrounds, Dominicans, Latins, Venezuelans, Asians, white, black. We get in there, and the leader says, hey, we're going to the World Series this year, and we're going to fight for it. So we get everybody in line, and they all help hold each other accountable. And then next thing you know, we're fighting to get to the World Series for those 8 months, 6 months. So, America, we need a World Series. We don't have a World Series. Where are we going? We have no place to go to get together and rally. We have nothing but division. A house divided will fall. We don't want to be the Roman government empire. We don't want to be Egypt. They all died out because they just couldn't get on the same page and they didn't have a World Series. What's our World Series? Figure it out. Let's all do that together. All right. God bless you.
I'm in.
Thanks, Tory.
Thank you, Tory.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Absolutely.
That's what we want to do. We want to listen.
We want to listen, and we want to understand that everybody has a different look in things, and that's what makes America America. We don't think one way. We are allowed to have differences of opinions and understand that everybody's path is different. Coming up next, Tory alluded to Colin Kaepernick and taking a knee. We will talk to the man who first suggested that and get his reaction to what Drew Brees had to say all these years later.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers always there for you rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
SportsCenter here on Golic and Wingo. Get you caught up, and we do have now heard from Drew Brees in response to the backlash after comments he made about protesting and the national anthem when asked on Yahoo Business. He replied in a lengthy Instagram post, quote, "I would like to apologize to my friends, teammates in the city of New Orleans, the black community, the NFL community, and anyone I hurt with my comments yesterday. In speaking with some of you, it breaks my heart to know the pain I've caused. In an attempt to talk about respect, unity, and solidarity centered around the American flag and the national anthem, I made comments that were insensitive and completely missed the mark on the issues we are facing right now as a country. They lacked awareness and any type of compassion or empathy. Instead, those words have become divisive and hurtful and have misled people into believing that somehow I am an enemy. This could not be further from the truth and is not an accurate reflection of my heart or character. This is where I stand. I stand with the black community in the fight against systemic racial injustice and police brutality and support the creation of real policy change that will make a difference. I condemn the years of oppression that have taken place throughout our black communities and still exist today. I acknowledge that we as Americans, including myself, have not done enough to fight for that equality or to truly understand the struggles and plight of the black community. I recognize that I'm a part of the solution and can be a leader in the black community in this movement. I will never know what it's like to be a black man or raise black children in America, but I will work every day to put myself in those shoes and fight for what is right. I have always been an ally, never an enemy. I am sick about the way my comments were perceived yesterday, but I take full responsibility and accountability. I recognize that I should do less talking and more listening. And when the black community is talking about their pain, we all need to listen. For that, I am very sorry, and I ask your forgiveness."
That is SportsCenter. It's brought to you by Barbasol, America's number one shaving cream. That's Barbasol Shaving Cream. Choose Barbasol Thick and Rich Shaving Cream, the American original for over 100 years. Close shave, America. Close shave, Barbasol.
All right, Golic and Wingo here with you. And, you know, as soon as the Drew Brees comments were made public yesterday, I reached out to our next guest because I wanted to have the conversation with him, because Nate Boyer was the man who made sure that Colin Kaepernick took a knee and said it was a respectful way to protest. But then, of course, we had him on schedule to come right now, and the apology from Drew Brees was just posted on his social media accounts. So with that in mind, we're delighted to talk to Nate Boyer, former NFL player, former Green Beret, who eventually had that conversation in the summer of 2016 before a preseason game with Colin Kaepernick and talked about taking a knee as a better way to sort of show respect while bringing attention to the causes he was talking about, police brutality. Nate, first of all, good morning. I know you got up early for us, and we really appreciate that. Thanks for being with us. You just heard Drew Brees's, or Mike Jr. read Drew Brees's response. What did you think of what Drew Brees had to say today?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's good. I expected it. I didn't know what way, shape, or form it would come, but just knowing what type of person, Drew Brees is and what he's done for the community in New Orleans and, you know, honestly what he's done, for people of color down there. He's done a lot, and not just post Katrina, but, you know, he helped, these last couple of years, he helped secure voting rights for formerly incarcerated people in New Orleans, you know, alongside DeMario Davis and other players from the Saints. So, you know, and I know he does care. It just seemed, when I watched that thing, when I heard that, it just seemed like there wasn't a ton of thought given the time, you know what I mean? And it was a mistake, and it was something that, you know, you can feel a certain way. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, you know, I think we all should be entitled to having those feelings, but there's also things you need to think about before you say it. And especially in these times with everything going on, it just seems, man, it seemed kind of off. It seemed kind of like, it's almost like you missed what was going on somehow. I don't know how you would today, but, anyway, I'm glad that that's been said, and hopefully people can move forward, but there's still going to be a lot of people that are pretty upset, I think. I don't think that's, you know, apologies like that often don't exactly just erase something for a lot of people.
Nate Boyer with us, former NFL player and Green Beret, again, was the one that asked Colin Kaepernick to kneel instead of sit, saying it would be more respectful in his protest that he did four years ago. Looking back on that, Nate, now and seeing what's going on right now in the world, I mean, does it feel like, man, we're not getting anywhere with any of this?
I mean, that was one of the that was what was most frustrating about it, I think. I mean, you know, in September it'll be 4 years since I met with Colin, and the issue back then is the same issue today as far as the narrative, you know, what the protests were about, and making sure that people understand that sitting during the anthem wasn't about protesting the anthem. It was a sign of protest during the anthem, because it was a time that would elicit a lot of emotions and get people talking. And yes, Colin Kaepernick said, you know, at one time, I'm not going to stand for a flag of a country that oppresses people of color. But, you know, when we string those words out and we look at it from, you know, from through different eyes a lot later in time, I guess, it's not necessarily, I think people understand, and I think Colin even understands, like, it's not this flag that is doing the oppression. But if the flag is a symbol of what this country is supposed to be all about, and making sure that everybody feels that they count the same and we truly are equal, and it's not holding up the end of the bargain, then people have to understand, like, you know, why we feel that way. Because I'm a person that I feel the same way that Drew does. When I watch that video, I feel the same way that Drew does when the anthem is played, when the flag's up there. You know, I feel those emotions. The one game I got to play in, I freaking bawled when they started playing the anthem because of, you know, what it means to me. And like the people that, you know, didn't come back with me, and the people that did come back in a wooden box draped in an American flag. Like, I get it. Trust me. But that's from my experiences. Like, I feel that way because of my experiences. That doesn't mean everybody just should feel that way. You know what I mean? And they don't. Like, some people feel a different way when they see those symbols, and they feel like, well, yeah, that, you know, that person that maybe served in the military or maybe grew up in a different neighborhood than me, maybe they do feel that way about it because of what's happened to them in their life and the opportunities they've had. But I don't feel that way. And if people don't feel that way, it's my duty, I think it's everybody's duty, to try to get them to that place, to do what we can together to make this country truly equal, truly better, and feel that everybody counts, so that, you know, the next time I stand next to Colin Kaepernick, when the anthem is played, he feels like he should stand too. Like, if you don't feel that way, you know, if the country you live in, you want to be better and you hope for it to be better, and you don't feel the same way that I do, then I want those people and myself to continue to fight for it to elicit that feeling for everybody, so that we all stand because we want to, not out of obligation.
Talking to Nate Boyer with us here on Golic and Wingo. Nate, we know you got a lot going on today and you're going to have to run soon, but I've seen you interacting so much with people on Twitter really in the last week. What's the biggest misconception that you've heard brought up, the biggest thing that you've really tried to stress as you've interacted with so many people and had these conversations?
I think it's the same thing that we've seen over the last 2 years, like people getting put into boxes, you know, assumptions made about somebody because either the color of their skin or the uniform that they wear, you know. And it's tough because social media has become the mainstream media. Like the timing in which stuff gets shared and spread around is we call it viral for a reason. We've been dealing with a different virus the last couple of months, but like this is real. And this is like, it's a scary thing. It's a powerful thing. It can be very, very, galvanizing as well. But it's also, you know, a bit scary that you know, you see images and hear things. And most of the time, I think most of the time in life, things are coming from a good place. And however, when things are ugly at times and it's hard to decipher what is really happening right now, what is not happening right now, that stuff just gets pushed harder because we're addicted to violence and ugliness, just as people and what we consume. So that's really frustrating. So, I mean, just trying to focus on all the good stuff that's going on too, because these protests, a lot of them are good, you know, and they're necessary. They're not just like, they're not all, you know, a bad thing, and it's not all meant to tear us apart or anything like that. It's meant to bring people together and, you know, to see like, and understand that people in the National Guard are out there defending people's rights to protest. And most of those people, you know, understand that and value that. But then there's still people in law enforcement that need to take a look at the way that they handle situations. And I'm talking about, you know, during these protests as well. So, you know, we still got a long way to go. That's all I can really say.
We certainly do. But it does feel like perhaps we're at an inflection point, and that could be the most important part of all of this. Nate, I appreciate your willingness to come on with us at a moment's notice. We know you got to run, but thanks for sharing a few moments with us in a few words. Just know they are appreciated. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you, Trey.
Thanks, Nate.
Yeah, you got it, buddy. Listen, It was just great to have him on today. Great to have him on today. Coming up, much more on the reaction to Drew Brees' now apology posted on his social media accounts.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Golic and Wingo with you. That last part of that rejoin right there was Malcolm Jenkins, who was a teammate with Drew Brees, then left to go play in Philadelphia, won a Super Bowl there, and signed with them in the offseason. And he is a teammate again of Drew Brees, and that was his very emotional Instagram reaction to Drew Brees' comments on Yahoo Finance when he was asked very specifically a question. As a leader of a team, what will you do if, with this new age of more activism from NFL players, what will you do if someone kneels? And the first response Drew said was, I will never I will never accept. Is that? Let me find it real quick. I want to make sure I get that 100%.
I got you here. I will never agree.
Thank you.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country.
Right, and that set off a torrent of backlash. And Drew Brees, as you just read in the SportsCenter update, went on Instagram with a very, very long post trying to clarify his words, but I think we're going to do this now. We always do it.
Yep.
We're going to go through this thing and parse what we like and
parse
what we don't
apology.
Like. But I think there's one phrase in there that I think a lot of people are going to have some more questions about.
Yeah. I would say above all else, let's not lose sight of the fact that my, oh my, the choice of picture was unfortunate. Good Lord in heaven, as we'll get to all of this, I assure you to use the visual medium form of this. I can't help but sit here and the rest of this is all very serious. The rest of this is all including the part of the apology that everybody always messes up. But the stock Google image of black and white dap exchange on Instagram to me was the chef's kiss of a post that I don't know. It's going to need a little bit of work in all this one. So as we critique it, I want to make sure we critique the right part, which is the picture on the Instagram post, because I'm a godless millennial in that way sometimes. But the thing that Trey was talking about, the thing that Trey was referencing in all of this was the end of this. And this is always in public scripted apologies, which unfortunately we major in, and I feel like I'm far more an expert in at this point than I should be, was I am sick about the way my comments were perceived yesterday.
Yeah.
Now, he followed that up with, but I take full responsibility and accountability, but the fact that you had to slip it in
the qualifier.
That's always the part that it's tripping over the finish line.
And we're going to try and get a Booger on at the top of the hour, but Booger immediately, you know, the apology's out there, and Booger tweeted already and basically making it sound like this is Drew Brees. I'm sorry for the way that America is crucifying me. I'm not sorry for what I said. Got it. Yeah. That was Booger's tweet. So
that's why the qualifier, you don't want the qualifier in there.
Booger will be on with us at 9.
Yeah, so he's going to be on with us at 9. So we've had a lot of reaction. And even teammates, Marcus Davenport was behind Drew Brees, said, you know, people maybe aren't understanding it correctly. Joe Horn, a former teammate of his, says the guys like LeBron James and others don't criticize Drew Brees if you don't know him, and talked about all the good that Drew Brees has done in New Orleans. So there are current teammates and former teammates that are sticking up for Drew Brees in this.
And they are. And then there's the other side of this, including Mike Thomas, who went out on Twitter and said he don't know no better. And then Marcus Colston.
That was before there were
before the apology. Yes.
All before
this
the
was
apology,
also
yes.
before the apology. Mark was out there and said, Drew, I had a ton of respect for you as a teammate on the field, but as a man, a black man, and a father, your comments today, meaning before the apology, have cut deep. Not because you have an opinion or perspective, but because
it continues to be so dismissive and insensitive to others. And that's the part of this. No one is saying Drew Brees is wrong in any way, shape, or form for saying what the flag represents to him. It's the idea that he had to say, we all have to do this a certain way, which is basically the antithesis of what the country is, which is we're allowed to all think our own way.
The minute you try and make your opinion the blanket way that everyone should do business, you discount the other opinions involved. Whether that's your intent or not, yeah, that's what happens. And that's why, unfortunately, in these situations when we say, well, and we just had Nate Boyer on who brought up the idea that Drew Brees does a lot down in New Orleans.
He donated $5 million recently to help with the pandemic event.
I mean, yes, you know, he has done a lot for a number of people. He has done a lot for the black community down there, but it is the sentiment of others that even with that in the background, what you say, and no one knows this, by the way, better than Drew Brees, carries a lot of weight. What you say is important. That man's word is gospel in Louisiana.
Yeah.
So if anyone knows the importance of word, regardless of what you got backing it up, and we know the receipts are important, that can still be wrong.
So for those that came out were heavily critical, you know, Booger McFarland, you know, Malcolm Jenkins, Ed Reed, Steven Jackson, LeBron James, the list goes on and on of those who either tweeted something or had a video. And I'm sure we'll see it throughout the day what they think of the apology. Because, listen, this is just what we do. And what if they didn't hear in there what they wanted to hear? What is it they need to hear? Because I'm sure a question still that they would love to ask Drew, and listen, Malcolm Jenkins and other teammates will get a chance to. If we kneel when the national anthem is played, what will you support us?
Yeah.
I mean, I think because that wasn't in the
that
long
was not
apology.
In the post, yeah.
That wasn't in the post. And there's going to be those that say, listen, he took responsibility. He said he needs to do better. You know, what more do you want? Well, I'm just going to tell you, there are going to be people that are going to want more.
So, and this is an interesting one because,
and I'm not saying those people that want more are wrong either, by the way.
It's interesting though, because when it comes to that, like people have pulled the picture on this one. Drew did kneel with his teammates when the decision was made that they would all stand and kneel in that situation in New Orleans. There are pictures, I believe.
Remember that.
Unless they're being taken out of context.
No.
I guess
that kneeling was when President Trump came out and said, called the players SOBs and they should be fired. So all the players,
yep,
that was more against what the president had said and not what Cap had been doing.
And I guess, you know what? I don't know if that was even during the anthem or anything like that. So let's, you know, let's, mistake by me, let's not even conflate the two on that one.
Right.
Nice word.
Yeah.
Don't know if I used it right.
I think you did. I won't even go with the interrogatory thing anymore. But
no.
But there's just going to be a lot here. And look, the statement is, we all know the statement or the apology is the beginning, right? It's the beginning. It's, as we've talked about in this situation that we find ourselves in this country, that's the easiest part at this point. It's then everything else that's going to be the issue.
That is so true, and it's emblematic of what we've seen, which is this is a situation, and I've always said this, trust is gained in drops and lost in buckets, and he was spilling gallons out of the side of this thing yesterday. And so the apology was always going to just be the beginning, and much like we've said, Drew Brees has done so much, he is going to now have to, right, wrong, or indifferent, I think reprove to a lot of people, hey, I am for you in ways that you can see and in ways that are genuine.
Yeah.
In ways that are genuine. Because sincerity has to be at the heart of all of this. There's no other way to proceed unless you can really empathetically look at someone's situation and give a sincere response.
Well, what do we always say about someone being a leader? Be sincere in how you do it, because you'll be found out otherwise, and that's going to be a big part of this. Much more coming up in this, including Booger McFarland will join us and get his reaction to what Drew Brees put out there in the way of an apology. We'll get to all of that next. Golic and Wingo with you.